is Jennifer, and I've made poor decisions throughout my entire life. I made poor choices of the company I kept. I got married at 19 to somebody who, you know, just to escape my home life. And I just wasn't, I was broken for a long time. I made bad decisions.
Bad decisions, boy. You know, we all make some in our life, that's for sure. Some worse than others. And in Jennifer's case, God love you, Jennifer, a series of bad decisions that start to accumulate in your life and become a real problem. But there's more to Jennifer's story, and we're going to get to that in a moment. And that's what we're hoping for you all today as well. Wherever you are in this decision train in life, trying to make decisions in your life, if you've been pretty poor at the job, we want to help you starting today to think more intentionally about making decisions for the future. And you can, and if you do, it can make a difference in your life. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen, the rest of the Intentional Living family, here in our Intentional Living studios in beautiful Tucson, in our Intentional Life Media Center, on a beautiful day. And we're talking about decisions. And we got some callers that I've talked to. We're going to share some of those already. People who've asking me questions or trying to make a decision. Others that want to share how they've made decisions, good and bad, and what they've learned. Listen, if you've been around me in intentional living any length of time, you know we have one purpose here. We want you to experience God's very best intention for your life, and it's not to be living in the cesspool of a series of bad decisions. That's not God's intention. Now, we all make some at times. That's just part of life. I was just joking about buying that 1973 Chevy Chevette. I thought, boy, this is the future. Hello. But anyway, on a more serious note, we're talking about the stuff that's going to have eternal impact and certainly lifelong impact. People you marry, your friends, decisions about money, about your work, about your faith, about trusting God, about your sexual life, about who you are in Christ, the jobs that you pick, and so on. And so if you want to talk a little bit about maybe you're at a point in your life you're trying to make a decision. Stephen and I were talking before the show, and know that some of you right now are just at that fork in the road. You're trying to make a decision on something. If I can be a friend and ask you a few questions, I'm glad to do that. Or maybe you could call and say, hey, here's some things I've learned about decision making that's made a difference in my life. Or just to honestly say, I've blown it, and warning others coming up behind you. All right? We're here to help each other, love each other, care for each other. This is the Intentional Living community. All right. Phone lines open. We're live. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 is the number. Here's the rest of the story.
Hi, my name is Jennifer, and I've made poor decisions throughout my entire life. I made poor choices of the company I kept. I got married at 19 to somebody who, you know, just to escape my home life. And I was broken for a long time. I made bad decisions. But I found the Lord found me, I should say, in that mess and helped me to regain my life. I've been sober now for 3 years, and I was homeless for about 4 years off and on. God just reached down, and He's taken those bad decisions and used them to teach me to make better decisions. And so God has restored my relationship with my boy and with my daughter, and He's just a wonderful father. I just told Him I'm sorry for the choices I've made, and He just keeps on carrying me and teaching me how to make better decisions through the bad decisions that I've made. I just wanted to share that and encourage somebody, hopefully, that's struggling with addiction, that God restores and that God is good. And I never knew how to make good decisions as a kid. I was never had any boundaries or anything. And so God has shaped and molded me. And through my bad choices, He's taught me what it means to be His child. And He's teaching me how to see myself as His child so that I can carry that identity as a child of God. I don't make those same decisions because I don't want to disappoint my heavenly Father.
Well, good for you. Hey, Jennifer, listen, you are a The child today that we're going to put up on the wall is a reminder of your story that no matter what lousy decisions you made in the past, you can make a decision to make better decisions. Now, yeah, there's consequences, obviously. You carry that stuff with you through life, but God's a God of forgiveness and love and patience and, I believe, restoration. If you're brand new to this whole intentional living thing, let me just tell you in three things what we're about. We believe that everybody has some hurt in our life. I mean, sometimes it's a big deal and really big, and sometimes it's small, but it's a hurt. Could be in your financial arena. Maybe it's a decision you're trying to make about marriage or wherever you are. Number two is you go from hurt to hope. God's word is full of hope. He loves you, cares for you. He's a father, maybe unlike any other human father has ever been. And so if you had a lousy example there, he's a loving father. So you go from hurt to hope to healing. And that's where intentional living fits in. We want to help you get into that healing stage in your life. I put together a few years ago what I call the top 10 list for making important decisions, and I asked the team to put it up on the on our website, so it's on today's broadcast. So if you go to today's broadcast on our website, click on it, you'll get a link to the top 10 list on making important decisions. I'll talk about some of these, and one of them you just heard were consequences. How will the decision I'm about to make affect my life? Because everything has a consequence. It could be a good consequence. It could be a bad consequence. It can be an unintended consequence. Most of them are. But understanding the consequences. Because there are going to be consequences to whatever you do or you don't do. It's important to understand, like what the late Dr. Stephen Covey said, while we're free to choose our actions, we are not free to choose the consequences of our actions. And that's true. All right. Let's get to our calls. You're welcome to join us at 888-888-1717. How do you make decisions? You have a decision you're trying to make now. If I can talk to you a little bit, love to talk to you. Let's go to Beth in Arizona. Hi, Beth.
Hi there, Randy. Thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate it. What's going on?
My son is dating this girlfriend whose brother 2 days ago tried to commit suicide. The mother is bipolar, and I'm trying to tell my son to be careful about dating someone bipolar. I really want to tell the mother, the mother's bad off drugs and whatnot, and just not the parent that should be the parent. I mean, So she just pretty much dropped the kid off and the daughter off back home. He got high and then just left the kids.
Oh, wow. Well, it sounds like some officials need to get involved in that. Beth, a question. What about the girlfriend? What's your concern about her? Is there something about her, or is it just the family milieu that you're concerned about?
The thing is, I'm trying to tell my son that he has to be careful to date someone if bipolar, because the mother has it, then the kids are going to have it. And
she's bipolar.
Well, we know the mother is for sure.
All right. So listen, we got a lot going on here, and you want to talk to your son. And you're right to do that, by the way. But your son has a girlfriend that he probably cares for, maybe loves, maybe, you know, and love has a way of making us blind to a lot of stuff going on. Let's just be honest. And sometimes that's good. After we get married, we need to have a little blinders on. But before we get married, we need the blinders wide open. We need to be able to see everything going on. Because the fact is, when we get married, we're bringing into our life all these people, good, bad, and indifferent. And that's not to discount or discredit the fact that the girlfriend, might be a beautiful match for your son in many ways. And because the mom has got mental illness doesn't necessarily mean that the same thing is going to come down on the daughter. But I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, so I don't want to discredit that, Beth. Here's what I would suggest you do. You're trying to make a decision. First of all, it's not your decision. It's your son's. And that's an important thing to point out. Sometimes we can call and say, well, I want to help my son make a decision, when your son doesn't want you involved in the decision he's making. And so the more you push and trying to tell him not to do this or what he should do, it's possible many times our children can push back and make that very decision just to show you they can make that decision. And so I would encourage you more to ask your son loving, open-ended questions like this. You know I love you, and I know that you care for, and you can mention her name, and I see that. And I know that you're aware that the family has some real issues going on that are serious. So, son, let me just ask you, if you were to get married, what do you think, how that could affect you, how that could affect your relationship? If you have children, how that could affect your future? How have you prayed about this? Who have you sought counsel from in making this decision? What are some of the unintended consequences of this decision? Is this the right time to be making a decision to move forward in that relationship? Son, I love you. Have you gotten into the Bible? Does the Bible have anything to say about this, about wisdom? Boy, maybe there's something in Proverbs. Maybe there's something in Ecclesiastes. Maybe something from Solomon in Scripture that might have something to say. I think the approach, Beth, would be more just asking questions, praying for your son and for this young lady. And if you have opportunity to minister, to be a positive influence in that family, you do that. You can join us. We're talking about making decisions. You're trying to make a decision today. 888-888-1717. Candy, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. Says here you're nearing retirement, huh?
Well, I would say I'm probably in the next 5 to 6 years.
Okay.
But I made a decision, and it was my husband and I made it together after a lot of prayer and thought went into it. I was in a pretty high-stress executive role that was impacting probably my health and my happiness, and I made the decision that I would step out of that role.
Yeah.
But I'm not really ready to retire, per se, but really kind of struggling with that next step and feeling like I'm guided by God of, like, not just jumping into another executive role.
Mm-hmm.
It's really been a great time for me to really connect with God again, spend a lot of time in devotion and just worshiping Him, being able to serve at the church. So it's really hard to think of, you know, jumping back into like a full-time or over full-time job again and lose that part.
Sure.
But also wanting to be financially responsible.
Well, that's the question. Let me ask you, can I ask you some questions?
You bet.
Okay. Do you have to work? Is money an issue?
You know, we're blessed. We did our savings like we should have. We both, my husband and I, have had really wonderful jobs. And so, no, I mean, financially, we're doing okay.
Okay.
I think we worry, though, do we have enough in retirement to last? I have a lot of longevity in my family of living to 100. So just knowing that, you know, do you have enough is a big question.
Yeah. Well, good for you. That's good. So, all right. That's practical things. You can, you know, those are numbers, X's and O's you can work on. If money were not an issue at all, what would you like to do with your life in this next stage when you get to it? I mean, what brings you the greatest pleasure in life?
It's serving. I would say serving people. I have a background as a nurse. Now, I haven't done like that hands-on nursing for a long time, but to do something to serve would okay. be incredible.
All right. So you would find the greatest pleasure in your life helping people, not moving papers and X's and O's and accounting or something like that. It's involved in helping people. Okay. In what ways do you find, I mean, do you enjoy, is it helping people in need? Is it service through the church? Where is it that you have found the greatest joy? What kind of needs do you like serving?
I think people in need is where I get the most enjoyment and satisfaction.
All right. What does your husband think you should do?
Well, I think he is our, well, so he did Dave Ramsey, and he's the nerd, so he's definitely the number cruncher guy.
Yeah.
And
every family needs one, by the way.
Exactly, and I'm so glad he does, because that's not me. But I know he feels like the more we have in our retirement accounts, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that is probably a little bit of my stress right now, is I want to make sure that, you know, I meet his needs to a feeling that we need to be financially responsible.
Do you agree with it, or do you think he's too nerdy?
I think he's too nerdy, and I think there's some growth piece that God's kind of pushing us to, is because I think having a lot of money doesn't necessarily always put it in your bank account. Sometimes it's a temptation to, you know, maybe go the material route and do things that aren't needs, but they're kind of wants, to satisfy those wants. So I think that's where I'm struggling too, is I feel like God's not leading me that way. He's leading me to be more like, you can live on what you're doing and probably make better choices and not go the material route if you didn't have the money to do that.
Now, let me ask you, are you working full time now?
I'm not. So I'm kind of in that semi-retirement mode since I quit my executive role.
All right. So that's right. You said you went to like half-time, basically?
I am really not doing anything. Being over 55 in the workforce is really challenging, too, of finding something and somebody who wants to, I think, take a risk on somebody older in the workforce, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing some applications and things like that, but really haven't had any success yet in finding that next role. And that might be part of me, is maybe I'm not sure in what that role is yet.
All right. Here's what I'm hearing, for what it's worth. I'm hearing a precious follower of Christ, a woman who still has a lot of energy. You're not that old. You would prefer to jump into serving people now more than ever, but your loving, caring, supportive, nerdy husband isn't quite so convinced. Is that somewhat accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, the nerd in all of us, and by the way, that would be me and my family as well. The nerds in the world need to be let down gently. And I'm wondering if you and your husband could sit down and start taking some steps, little baby steps, toward you doing more of that, working in that direction, looking at the X's and the O's of the money, and maybe in part-time where you get into a position where you're serving, you're getting some income, you're working, but you're working in a place where you're able to serve. You know, maybe there's some ministries available in your area that would take your skills and be thrilled to have you come in. You might not make as much as you've made in this secular world, but it'll be an environment where, you know what, I'm coming home at night and I'm thrilled. I'm serving people. I'm caring for people. I'm loving on people. I'm being able to do some things of service, and I'm still getting at least some income that can go into the nerd wallet here that we have in our family to help a little bit. Does that make sense?
It does. Absolutely.
Because I don't know what city you're in Arizona, but I can tell you this, there's ministries in all the cities where people, they're looking for people. I mean, we here in our own ministry, we have people who come, and we just had a staff meeting and had some folks that are new on our team saying, wow, we are thrilled to be here in a place where we can have fun together and share Christ and have ministry and do things. There might be some places in your community where you can serve and do it in a way where it's a little bit of income as well. So you're helping the ministry, and the ministry is helping you. And at the end of the day, it's helping your husband, the nerd who's keeping all the money straight. Which, by the way, since I'm a nerd, I can say it, right? I can say it too. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back. By the way, we're talking about decisions. You love to call. You love to join us. We're going to continue this after the show ends in 10 minutes. How do you make decisions? Are you trying to make a decision? How do you get to that point? Intentional living, we are here to help you. Coming up on our website on today's program is the top 10 list that we've put together on how to make decisions, questions that you ask yourself as you consider an important decision and to discern God's will. Come to our website. It'll be there on today's broadcast once we get it posted after the show here a little bit. All right? At theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Something that everyone will experience in life is pain. In Dr. Randy's message, The Purpose of Pain, you'll learn even though pain is a problem, when you understand its purpose in your life, you can actually gain freedom.
Pain is a troubling problem for humanity, and yet, without pain, we'd have no grasp of the contrast with health, or peace, or success, or meaning. For it's in the pain that we're able to see how dependent we are on God and what His blessings are all about in our life.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group with unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now and receive these life-changing resources. Call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right, thank you. But when you do, you're supporting the ministry, allowing us to do what we do, and together we're in this. Thank you. And our teaching, our featured teaching, all the lessons for the last couple of years up on our exclusive site there set aside for members only when you join us in monthly support. Love to have you be a part of the team. We need you. You're making a difference, helping people come to Christ and then to live intentionally in Him. That's why we're here, to help families, married, singles, young people. Love it when young people can get intentional with their lives. Just call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com.
Hello, my name is Faye. The decision that I need to make, or that has been on my heart, is whether or not to adopt, but probably take some child that has been through the DHR program and, you know, and into my home and into our life. I am 62, my husband is 58, and I'm just wondering if perhaps we're too old. Not only for us, I mean, I think we could handle it. I'm not sure that we would be the best thing for a young child, though. We're thinking about age 6 to 12, somewhere around there. But it's a big decision, and I just would like a little input.
Yeah, you know, when you make a decision, you need input, and that's why the encouragement is find someone, be to your pastor, to trusted people. I've always said, go to people who are spiritually maybe ahead of where you are. People, and if it's a practical kind of decision about money or whatever, you go talk to the people that are experts in that field, people that can, you know, you don't go to see your doctor about repairing your car, and you don't see the car guy when you want to get your brain surgery, right? You go to people that are expert in that area. All right, we got a couple minutes left here. Let's go to Deanna in Arizona. Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your question today?
So I have been struggling with deciding whether or not to divorce or stay with my husband. There's been a lot of infidelity,
mm-hmm.
and it's lasted for years, and we've gone through counseling and Bible studies, and every year it's, you know, continuing, and out of the guilt, the behavior at home affected as well, as far as how I was being treated and everything. And so, yeah. And now he's making Sorry.
Sorry. How long you been married?
So we've been married for 5 years, and then we have been together, we're high school sweethearts, for 12.
All right. And you have children?
We have two, yes.
And so...
A 3 and a 1-year-old.
Is he recognized that you're at a point you're trying to make a decision to stay or go?
Mm-hmm.
And what does he say?
He wants to stay together, and he now has... because he crossed some few lines with his family as well. And we ended up moving across the country. Like, we moved back home because he's in the Army. So he stayed in Michigan, and we moved back to Arizona. And during this separation physically, he has sought out help. Mm-hmm. Starting to do all the things. Yeah.
So his desire is to make the marriage work.
Yeah.
Is that your desire at this point, or have you checked out?
I think God's been working on my heart to continue fighting. I think I'm a little tired, and I don't really know what to believe.
Yeah, it's understandable.
I've kind of seen it.
Well, let me
make the steps and then go back and yeah.
Well, let me do this. We're wrapping up the show. I want to say two things. One is, I'm going to ask everybody who's listening who understands what you're going through because they've been there to pray for you and your husband. Two, I don't know what kind of counseling you've had or what he's having, but I do know this. You guys are way beyond the point of saying, we got to get all the cards on the table face up. And there's got to be a seriousness of what it means to be married. And there are consequences when those things are violated, especially when they're continually violated. And so my encouragement to you, Deanna, because I hear in your heart this, you're conflicted, you're tired, but you're fighting for your marriage. But you know what? You need to get somebody to come and fight with you and include your husband. You guys have got to fight for your marriage together. And so I would encourage both of you to get into some really serious counseling independently and together and seek God's direction. That would be the next decision I would recommend for both of you. Thank you. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.